Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 24th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Tim motherfucking Geddes. Tim, how you feeling today?
Let's see, most. How you doing, man? 2020 still sounds weird.
It feels weird to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Feels good to be in it, though. Last night, Kevin and I spent hours working on my theater room.
Oh, yeah?
And we had the projector set up. And let me tell you, Barrett Courtney, playing Cuphead on a freaking 120-inch projector.
Oh, my God.
With the film grade and everything.
Fuck yeah.
It was an experience,
Hell
man.
Yeah, man.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds really cool.
Awesome.
When are we going to do like a multiplayer?
We got to get everything figured out there.
Okay.
Because, yeah, the thing is, like, with the way the screen splits, if we're playing like some four player split screen Halo 1.
Oh, yeah. You know my God.
You got a big ass screen.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Because the like resolution of the Switch, like playing Mario Kart on this guy is not bad at all.
That's not bad?
Yeah.
Because the resolution is low?
The resolution sucks on this,
but it does on the Switch too.
Gotcha.
So it actually matches.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you want to play.
We need to have a Mario Party or a Mario Kart Party.
Oh, Mario Party Party.
Mario Party Party sounds awesome.
It does, man.
2020 Party Party.
Now, did you hear the new anthem?
Oh.
The new Sonic anthem.
Mm-hmm,
That new, I forget all the artists.
Lil Yachty blessing us.
Yeah.
Wiz Khalifa coming through.
Yep. And a dude whose name I did not recognize.
Me neither. What was it? Like the end. Suave the Kid or something?
Something like that. Yeah. How are you feeling about it?
After one listen, I got to be honest with you. I'm not vibing with it.
Really?
I'm not feeling the beat. It feels a little. It doesn't feel Sonic enough. Because here's the thing. Bless. Here is the goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Ninja Turtles came out? The Michael Bay Abomination Ninja Turtles came out?
I thought you were going back. And, like,
No. We're not going back to Vanilla Ice.
I thought that's what you were bringing up.
Although, never forget Turtle Power.
Go Ninjas, go.
Go Ninja, dude. No. Oh, yeah. With Turtle Power was MC Hammer. What a banging soundtrack. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movie that came out that was horrible, right?
Yeah.
The one good thing about that movie was the theme song, Shell Shocked, that was also Wiz Khalifa, and that beat went hard as fuck.
I vaguely remember
And they had
this.
So many damn amazing lines in their shit that were like Ninja Turtle referencing.
I like the new Sonic song. I thought, I've only also listened to it once, but I feel like the messiness of it equates to the messiness of Sonic the Hedgehog, if you know what I mean. Like, Sonic the Hedgehog, we love Sonic the Hedgehog because sometimes it hurts to love Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you're going to get when they announce something new Sonic.
I mean, usually it's a bad game. You know?
Usually, no. And I'm with you, man, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a Sonic boy.
Of course.
But hey, get my boy Charles Hamilton on this.
Bring him back from the dead. Speaking of bringing back things from the dead, today's stories include Knights of the Old Republic, PlayStation fans being loyal, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Our first impressions video of Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC Remind is now up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Let me tell you, man, it's a great video.
It was a great video, man. It started off with some issues. Now, here's the thing, a little tease for you guys, right? It was Imran playing. I was there kind of hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
Bless was there just like taking it all in.
Yeah,
but
chilling.
The real star of the show was Kevin A. Coelho sitting back just being dumbfounded at the things that were happening. And it was so funny. But the other thing that was special about this video is, for some reason, with how the PlayStation 4 was connected via HDMI, blah, 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 this leads to that. For some reason, the voices in the cutscenes weren't there.
Yeah.
So it felt just like the E3 trailers of Kingdom Hearts that were so awkwardly mixed.
It was just the voices that were gone?
Just the dialogue in the cutscenes, like in battle.
I know what setting it was.
So because of that, Andy Cortez lent his vocal skills to voice all of the characters.
We've had three first impressions videos. They've all been bangers.
Yeah.
This latest one is probably the best one.
I love it, man.
And so I highly
go check it out.
YouTube.com/kindafunnygames. We've got five community meetups happening in the next few weeks. A baker's dozen of community meetups happening in the next few weeks. So that's in Dallas/Fort Worth, Houston, NYC, DC, and Kansas City. If you want to learn more about that, find those communities on Twitter, Facebook, wherever those communities kind of aggregate together. If you can't find them, tweet at Joey Noel. Is that her Twitter handle? Yes. At Joey Noel. Tweet at Joey Noel, and she can point
She'll hook you up
in the right direction. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped, Riot Games, and Raid, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four meaty stories today.
A baker's dozen.
I say meaty because there's a lot to chew on.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to chewing.
Number one, Knights of the Old Republic remake might be back in the cards. I'm reading from Alex Avard of GamesRadar. A Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic sequel is apparently in development at EA, according to a new report from Cinelinx, the same source that accurately leaked the existence of the Obi-Wan TV show last year. Citing two separate sources, it claims are close to Disney's Star Wars plans. A new take on BioWare's RPG has been greenlit by publisher Electronic Arts, one designed to, quote, integrate elements from the first two games in order to bring certain things into the new current Star Wars canon, end quote.
Who just got chills?
This guy.
I just got chills. Hey, holy shit, let's go. Yeah.
Rumors of a KOTOR remake have been swirling for years, but this report now claims this latest project is more of a sequel slash reimagining than a by-the-numbers reboot. Think the latest God of War game, and you get the idea. Given the recent success of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and all that talk of an ambitious multimedia project from Disney known as Project Luminous, it wouldn't be all too surprising to see EA revive the much-beloved Knights of the Old Republic universe back to life. It's unclear whether BioWare itself, currently working on Anthem, Dragon Age 4, and a new Mass Effect game, which I actually wasn't aware of. I didn't hear anything about that new Mass Effect game, so I don't know where this is pulled from, has much involvement with this rumored sequel, though it seems unlikely given how far the studio is already stretching itself. Either way, if the Force is with us, we'll hopefully hear more official details at this year's upcoming E3 Expo. So there's a couple things to chew on here.
There is. Let's work backwards.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see it at
E3. It feels too early. It feels too early, and I don't know if it's not BioWare working on this, who at EA is working on this? That's my because if it is BioWare working on this, I don't think there's a way we see this at E3 because they're already working on Dragon Age, right?
Yeah.
And so I imagine maybe the Star Wars project might be a little bit further out.
Yeah.
That said, if there's somebody at EA, if there's a studio at EA that is working on this, that's not BioWare. Right, a Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic project being revealed at this E3 still feels soon.
So here's the thing. EA has been in an interesting place, especially with E3 the last couple of years, doing EA Play, and EA Play kind of being a different thing every year the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Like it all started with them being part of E3, then it was them outside of E3,
yeah.
Then it was them outside of E3 not really making announcements, just doing deep dives into games.
Like last EA Play was what it was Greg
it
like
was Greg
hosting
just and doing developer interviews,
yeah.
Right? And I feel like that's just that a sign of where this console generation is at or was at even and like continues to be at where you can't announce too many things because we know next gen's coming. You can't announce stuff for that yet. So it's like this weird middle ground, right? Where it's like we're getting all the stuff out of the system, Jedi Fallen Order, all the things that we knew were coming.
Yeah.
But when are the new announcements going to come? And I feel like with next gen, this E3 could be a good time for that, but I feel more like next E3 is going to be when we really start to probably see EA like back in full form at E3.
Yeah.
At least in terms of, it'll still be EA Play, I think. I don't think it'll be E3 proper.
Yeah.
It'll be EA Play, but I think it'll be more of a traditional press conference.
Like back to form.
Where it's like, hey, we're making a lot of game announcements back to back.
Yeah, I think the most we see, if we do see KOTOR at this E3, is a logo. Or like some sort of like, oh yeah, we're bringing back KOTOR and that's it. But like it's no date, nothing like that, because I don't think this would be the first year of the console generation where this releases. That said, I also don't know how much I believe in the existence of this yet. Like, all this stuff sounds, I mean, compelling, and they're saying that, like, this is reported from the same site that leaked the Obi-Wan TV show, so there's credibility there. But at the same time, that sounds like a lot. Like, once again, it comes back to who is developing this if it's not BioWare, right? And even even if there's, just, like, a studio at EA that is available to work on a KOTOR, like, remake slash sequel, am I excited for it? Like, when was the last time I got a single-player meaty EA game that wasn't developed by Respawn that actually panned out super well?
Let's take a walk.
All right. Bless.
Let's take a walk into the insane, okay? Is there any way we can make the lights green, Barrett?
No?
Okay. Xbox, my friend.
Oh.
Xbox. Here's the thing. When I think of KOTOR, the original, what do I think? Xbox.
Yes.
It was one of the killer apps for the first Xbox. There was Halo, there was Splinter Cell, there was this, KOTOR. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Different time. Things have changed. The EA license, why would EA not want to put it on
everything?
Everything to make a lot of money. The answer, a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay?
Tim.
Uncle Phil, Tim. Coming in. Microsoft exclusive, KOTOR.
That'd be awesome.
EA working with, I don't know.
It could be, what's the Quadruple A studio that they
Coalition?
Opened up? Not Coalition.
Oh,
the
God damn it.
Initiative.
Yes. The Santa Monica.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm.
I like this idea.
Yeah.
I think that could be
on
awesome.
The Gamescast predictions topic, we were talking
about like Wolverine or like
about Marvel.
Yeah.
What if it's Star Wars?
That'd be cool.
I feel like at some point there's the law of diminishing returns of too many hands.
Too many parties being involved. And like how does that money get split, and like how does all that stuff work?
But an exclusive Star Wars game, one of the most beloved Star Wars games of all time being remade, if it was their like first major like entrance into the console world, Microsoft's gonna want that to be something that is like a huge holy shit moment.
Interesting. I think another thing to chew on with this is that if this is true, right, that then means that I imagine that means that the EA Star Wars agreement, you know, is still going strong.
Still kicking.
Despite like the first 6 years of it being kind of a trash fire with the first Battlefront followed by Battlefront 2. And I think those being like the only two Star Wars games to really come out. Within the
besides
first,
besides
like,
the mobile
few,
stuff,
yeah. Besides the mobile stuff, right? Like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is really like the first big Star Wars game since that agreement that I can think of that really hit home. And so, like, is all forgiven, or like, did they settle that? Because I think like a lot of the speculation was, oh yeah, Disney is definitely going to.
Yeah, but where did that speculation come from? Because it didn't come from the dollar signs.
I think it came from. The controversy that came with the games, and then also like you saw with Star Wars Battlefront 2, Disney actually like taking a stand, being like, "Hey, you know, stop this! Like EA, please, you gotta remove all the microtransactions, do all this, right?" Like I feel like that stuff reflected so strongly on Star Wars in a negative way that I think of course, it's speculation based on what we're seeing happening, nothing truly concrete, but I feel like based on that stuff,
for sure, and it makes sense, but also Star Wars not. You know, does not know controversy.
True.
It's kind of
very
just
true.
Steeped in it. So it's like, at some point, is the money there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. You know, Battlefront sold, Battlefront 2 sold. So we'll see. And Jedi Fallen Order obviously is selling really well. But I feel like, you know, Jedi Fallen Order doesn't excuse everything, but I do think it's putting them on a better path.
Yeah, it's definitely like a step in the right direction.
KOTOR is definitely the right path go down, right? Especially next gen. I think that could be awesome. I like this idea of it being a like God of War style reboot, whatever that means.
Have you played the first KOTOR? Or the first KOTORs?
Yeah. I mean, the first one obviously is a classic. The second one I never beat. The second one was a game that I rented from Blockbuster like three different times, which is the worst way to play that type of game.
Yeah.
But you know, didn't have the money back then to get it. But from what I hear, people don't love KOTOR as two as much as one, but it's still a good game. It's just not like as revolutionary and like killer appy.
KOTOR 2 was the only one that I played because I think the first one came out when I was like a little too young, or maybe I just like wasn't into like video games yet. I don't know.
Because you weren't born yet.
Yes, exactly.
KOTOR 1
exactly person who is like a year older than me. Fuck
hey,
off,
man.
KOTOR 1 is amazing.
Yeah.
Cast of characters is fantastic. Like the ideas that that game kind of, whether or not it invented them, but the way that it presented the systems of like being good or bad in an RPG on a console with a license. It's like there's so much like things of like, it might not have been the first, but it definitely was one of the best.
Yeah, I think that was the thing where it was like, I think I tried KOTOR 2 and I didn't know that they are RPGs, and I was like at a time where I was like, this does not seem like a game for me.
What's an RPG?
I would love to go back to them now and try them out. I like your idea, Timmy, of this whole Xbox thing.
Me too.
But I don't think it's that realistic. But
me neither.
I do kind of see maybe like kind of like what PlayStation does, like partnering with like Call of Duty and shit like that. I do maybe see like
seeing a promotional.
Yeah, or maybe like maybe even weirder would be like a timed exclusive. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I do. I mean, I like that idea because of the pop it would be.
Yeah.
And how much sense it makes, but how difficult it would be to make that happen. That kind of makes fall apart. But the idea of Xbox being like, okay, EA has the Star Wars license. Let's approach them with one of our studios to help, whether it's co-develop it or develop it incomplete, right? And then have that be an exclusive for our platform. I think it's that gets also gets difficult with the idea that it's Star Wars and they want to sell as many copies as possible. And they probably, Star Wars probably wants those games to be on multiple platforms. But yeah.
But I mean, look, Marvel would want Spider-Man to sell as many copies as possible. We got an exclusive Spider-Man game on PlayStation. Like, that's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
You know? And it is different because Marvel Games doesn't have an exclusive license to one group.
Yeah. Like, Marvel kind of just, like, ships out their different franchises.
They kind of pick and choose, which leads a lot of credence to what Imran was kind of bringing up of, like, where's the Xbox side for Marvel. They're going to want to hit that market. But this is very exciting stuff, and I do believe it. In my core, I believe that we're going to see KOTOR again. I just don't know in what form. And you reading through this article is interesting to me. It starts off kind of implying that there's going to be a new KOTOR, but then a remake of the original that kind of blends one elements of one and two. But then it kind of shifted into sounding like, oh, maybe it is just one that is a sequel.
A remake
reboot
slash sequel.
Like thing. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that God of War is not a remake. It's straight up, it's a sequel.
Yeah, it's like
a sequel
reboot,
slash reboot.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But like, I'd love to see a kind of reboot slash remake.
Yeah, I would like
not
to see
so
like
sequel,
like
but
a reimagining,
like, to take elements that worked from one and two, but add a lot of new surprises. Because I feel like the surprises and like there's giant reveals in KOTOR that are what make that game as memorable and special as it is. And I feel like that's something that Star Wars, especially in an RPG, especially in a narrative RPG, like you need hype moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like shit that people will hold on to, and when they're playing for the first time, will, you know, decades later on a best moments in gaming list, be talking about the game like they did about KOTOR.
And I like the idea that this would be the thing that would connect the KOTOR property or the KOTOR lore into the current Star Wars canon, right? Like, you know, if you want to scrap the first two because they scrapped all the Star Wars stuff, like expanded Star Wars stuff out of the canon, and
Legends.
Finally, yeah, well, is that what they call Star Wars Legends?
Yeah,
yeah. If you want to actually like find a way to be like, okay, we're revisiting KOTOR, but we're going to find a smart way to kind of connect this into what's going on in the actual universe. I think that sounds cool.
Yeah.
The neobiologist writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing and Tim. According to a new rumor, Knights of the Old Republic is going to be remade, and many other Star Wars games are in production at EA. First, have you played KOTOR? Second, how would you like to see KOTOR improved for current / next gen consoles? New gameplay features, any additions from KOTOR 2 or the MMO? Thanks, the neobiologist." So I haven't played it, but you have.
Yeah, I have absolutely no experience with the MMO except for the
watching the cutscenes
being the coolest goddamn things I've ever seen.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's get them involved for sure for the cutscenes. Besides that, I honestly just feel like let's see what happens with Dragon Age, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's see what that looks like on modern systems and with modern gaming systems in play, right? Like gameplay systems. And how can they kind of attach that to the KOTOR side? Because KOTOR at this point is playable on iOS. Like, it is such, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like you would need to almost start from scratch and just like figure out like what would a Star Wars RPG now look and feel like. And that's where the God of War thing comes in. And that those are giant shoes to fill. And like, I feel like it's semi unfair of us to just like constantly be like, oh, I want to see the God of Warization of X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, also, I do. Like, that is what I want to see from this. I don't just want to see a shallow remake that is just the exact same thing with a new coat of paint.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the RE2 remake. Give me Final Fantasy VII remake from what I've played. Like, give me something that is inspired by and taking the things that matter most from the original, but, like, make it a brand new experience that feels fresh to people that have played it 10 times or never before.
Yeah. I just want it to be good. Like, given the track record of, like, EA over the last generation, right? Like, it's kind of hard to pick and choose like the great EA. Well, it's not hard to pick and choose, but I feel like they're few and far between when you think about the great EA games of this gen. If you focus in on like single player or like narrative experiences, right? Most of them are Respawn games, right? Like, you have Jedi Fallen Order, you have Titanfall 2.
I mean, not even singling in, just like look at their games in general. It's sports games and it's Respawn.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right?
Yeah.
We had Unravel, the Yarny game.
Yeah. And I mean, you have like, Anthem and Mass Effect Andromeda, which didn't pan out well. And then you have like Mirror's Edge Catalyst, which wasn't great.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have like, I mean, if you try to think back to the early in the generation, it's kind of hard for me to even think of. Like, you have the EA, like the art EA games, so like Valiant Hearts and stuff like that.
Yeah, so
and
it's Unraveled, like there are moments. There are little moments, but like we're talking about an entire generation that lasted.
And like
a very
they stopped doing
time.
Those EA art games, right? Which they shouldn't have, but they did. Well, actually,
they did Unravel 2.
Yeah, and they did A Way Out, right? Was that EA?
You're right.
Yeah, they're still doing like the cool EA
art
stuff.
But even A Way Out, I think it didn't hit the way that hardcore gamers wanted it to.
For sure.
It's the hardcore gamers that looked at that and were like, fuck, EA is doing something really special here. And it ended up being cool.
Yeah. I think A Way Out in some ways is still really special. But it definitely, quality-wise, I don't feel like lived up to what people kind of wanted from it. Especially it kind of feeling Uncharted in some ways, like in like the cinematic experience of it, but not living up in terms of quality, which is a hard bar to hit. But you kind of make that comparison when these games look and feel somewhat similar on that level. But I mean, either way, like A Way Out was a cool experience. But aside from like the EA indie art stuff, right? Like if you look at EA AAA, it's kind of hard to get excited for a new game.
Look at like the Need for Speeds, right? It's like they were such a cornerstone of the like two gens ago and even a little bit into the last gen, but this gen it's like anytime you see a Need for Speed trailer it's like, oh my god, like you can smell the desperation through the screen. We're just like, oh, you just need to put a product out, you know, and like that sucks. That should never be the vibe that you get from franchises that we all once loved.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think hopefully Dragon Age is the next thing that kind of turns around, or hopefully like, and I don't have much hope at this point, but maybe we'll see Anthem turned around within the next like a year or so. But
maybe
it's kind of the timer is ticking on that game.
And totally.
So, number two, over 10% of developers are making games for the next generation. This is by Rebecca Valentine of GamesIndustry.biz, and I highly recommend people go to GamesIndustry.biz. Rebecca has quite a few write ups of the GDC state of the game industry survey, and so there are a lot of really cool. Articles kind of breaking down different statistics. This is one I pulled because this is one I think is the most interesting. And I'm going to read through essentially the entirety of the article, but I highly recommend people go to GamesIndustry.biz, give them the clicks, and check out the other articles that Rebecca wrote because they're really good. With next-generation consoles just around the corner, developers are beginning to shift their projects to the new hardware, though they aren't ready to abandon the current consoles fully anytime soon. GDC has conducted its annual State of the Game Industry survey of 4,000 developers. From their responses, GDC found that PC remains the most popular development platform and looks to maintain this hold comfortably as we enter a new console generation. When asked what platforms their last project had launched on, what their current project was being developed for, and what they plan to make their next project for, over 50% of survey developers responded PC to each question. Over 10% of developers are currently making games for next gen, with 11% saying they were making games for the PlayStation 5, and 23% saying their next game would be on the console, and 9% actively developing for Xbox Project Scarlet, 17% saying their next game would be. This currently doesn't seem to be cannibalizing the last generation, at least not quickly. 25% said their current project was on the PS4, with 20% saying their next game would be. While 23% said their current project was on the Xbox One, 20% are planning their next project for it. Furthermore, only 5% of those surveyed said they were targeting next-gen platforms exclusively for their next game. 34% confirmed that their current project would be released on both next-gen and current-gen platforms. As for the Nintendo Switch, it doesn't seem to be suffering any from these transitions. 17% of developers said their current project would be released on the console, and 19% said they were planning their next game for it. For the first time, the 2020 GDC survey included questions about developing for new streaming platforms. For now, it seems few developers are working on games specifically for the technology. Only 6% are currently making a game for Google Stadia, and only 3% are making a game for Project xCloud. Developers were also asked what platforms they were interested in developing for. Even if they weren't necessarily currently planning to develop for it, there was meaningfully more interest in PS5 over Project Scarlet, 38% versus 25%, and 37% said they were interested in the Nintendo Switch. A few interesting outliers included 5% who said they were interested in developing for voice-activated assistants like Alexa or Google Home. 2% were interested in Panic's hand-cranked handheld, the Playdate. Which do you remember the Playdate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing 2%. Looks cool. All
right.
Yeah. As for VR and AR, overall interest is much higher than is reflected in those actively making games for the media. 15% of respondents said their current project was in VR, and only 7% said it was being developed for AR. But 27% said they were interested in VR and 16% in AR. By platform, 25% are currently making games for the Oculus Rift and 24% for the Quest, with 20% for the HTC Vive. Only 10% are developing for PSVR, 8% for Valve Index, and 5% for Magic Leap 1. What is Magic Leap 1? That's what I was thinking. Did they make a VR headset? Is that an AR headset? The Magic Leap 1.
Does that have anything to do with Leapfrog? Yeah.
Is it the Leapfrog?
No. Damn it, Kevin.
But yeah, there's a lot of numbers there. I'm looking this up.
Yeah, dude. This is the one that John Drake was trying to get you to use, and you.
And they forgot the password.
Yeah. Yeah. What does any of this seem surprising to you?
Surprising. I wouldn't say so.
Because I feel like we're in the weird place right now where it's like, okay, like there's a lot of secrets going on. Not everybody that wants to have access to these things does have access to these things. Mm-hmm. This is all going to change over the coming years. That's just how this works. To me, though, is the only 3% are making a game for Project xCloud.
Okay, yeah, that's something that give me pause for a second too. Which is interesting. It's interesting that you see more for Stadia than for xCloud.
Well, more for Stadia for sure, but also like xCloud, isn't that just making a game for Xbox?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I feel like you got to develop specifically for it though, right? Like,
I don't know, man.
Because they're saying that like eventually with the way that xCloud's working, like they're adding a bunch of games to the beta, but then eventually it's going to be your entire library.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So maybe
people are developing for the beta then.
That or maybe people are confused of like what the system actually like requires, like what the xCloud system actually needs.
Well, I mean, 3% are making it for it. So,
oh, really?
So
I thought it was 3%.
So hopefully, okay. Hopefully they're not that confused.
Yeah,
well, I'm making it for the Leapfrog.
Dude, shout out to Leapfrog though.
I think the
teaching me my ABCs.
I think the most interesting thing for me from the story is that it seems like there's not as much turnover immediately as far as like current gen into next gen. Like a lot of development is still going on for current gen, and it seems like developers don't feel a lot of pressure to jump into next gen.
See, I think there's a muddled message in there where mm-hmm. It's not that. It's just that the blend between this gen and next gen is going to be more seamless than ever.
Yeah.
Where games being made for this gen are being made for next gen. It's just going to be, you know, some type of slider situation, patch situation. The numbers being of like what they're exclusively working on next gen mm-hmm. kind of makes sense to me, because I think that that's not going to be the target goal for, I mean, we know it's not necessarily the target goal for Xbox. So
yeah,
really these percentages are only talking about PlayStation that are going to be doing that type of, you know, ecosystem.
Mm. Interesting.
Out the gate, at least like a couple years down the line, that could all change. But I imagine that with the backwards compatibility, there's going to be a huge focus on the enhanced for X type situation we're seeing currently.
Yeah. What do you think the enhanced for... When you say enhanced for X, do you mean like enhanced for Xbox Series X when that console...
Well, right now it's enhanced for Xbox One X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like where it's like you can older games you can play and like there's a patch and makes it 4K. Makes it run better or whatever. Mm-hmm. That currently exists now.
Yeah.
They're not going to give up on that. So I imagine that like even next gen... Xbox Series X is out. There's going to be the weird... I feel at some point it's just going to be Xbox games, and mm-hmm. whatever Xbox you have, it'll run at that level.
I am really curious in... You know, we're in the interesting place in the generation right now because we just don't know how these things are going to pan out until we're there. But, like, is there going to be an enhanced for Xbox Series X type of thing where it is like, all right, now this game gets ray tracing support? And, yeah. like, because I feel like that's way harder to do than, like... up-resing your games, right? Like, I feel like adding ray tracing stuff, you kind of have to go in your game and tinker around.
I'm not a scientist, but harder, I don't think matters. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to make it happen. Like, that is going to be the value add for a lot of that stuff.
Dude, could you imagine, like, a PS3 game they add ray tracing.
Well, dude, I mean the
that sounds awesome.
Barrett, can you look up Minecraft ray tracing?
The Minecraft ray tracing videos are incredible.
Like I wanna watch this with the people for a little bit because it's like this is it's a perfect example of just like I can't imagine. Like, let's go back and like add it to literally anything.
Yeah, because I can see it happening for like Red Dead Redemption 1 or even GTA 5, right? Like that's a last gen game technically.
Mm-hmm.
But with that game still kicking so strong, I can see an RTX version of it.
So we're looking at Minecraft right now, and there's a comparison between ray tracing on and off, and it's just
like look at that. Yeah, right.
It's crazy. You know, and it's like lighting matters so much to make it a world feel real.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus.
And like reflection, like go scroll later to like where there's some water.
Hey, can you explain for the people again what ray tracing is? Because I see comments.
No, I can't.
Because isn't it like realistic lighting?
Yeah, it's realistic lighting, shadows, and just reflection. Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
it's like a different way to like, or like a more advanced way to track light. It literally trace and rays.
Essentially to like, to go there, simulate. Dude. Kind of realistic lighting.
So look at this Minecraft water, guys.
The way that lighting kind of disseminates that looks fine. In real life, they try to replicate it.
That looks fine?
Yeah.
I wish they had the off so you can see what it looked like in Minecraft.
I don't play Minecraft, so I don't
like, yeah, Minecraft that. Off. Like, RTX off water.
Yeah, is not.
Yeah, it doesn't look like this.
Like, the amount of, like, ridiculous upgrades you get from this. Now, here's the thing. Like, I was reading an interesting, thread on Reset Era a couple days ago about ray tracing, mm-hmm. and is it going to be something that is actually a standard of next gen, or is it going to be like a buzzword that is used a lot and then ends up being too much of a power hog to actually be something of consequence? And I don't know. It's very interesting to me where we're at of what is this going to look like? Is it going to be a bunch of toggles? Like how close is a console game going to look to a PC game at what point? You know, mm-hmm. with like being able to go in and turn things on or off depending on what type of experience you want. I think that PS4 Pro and Xbox One X have handled it very well in their limited ways right now of having options, but not too many options of, hey, here's a performance mode or here's resolution mode.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose.
Can I ask you a technology newbie Anytime. Question, like your thoughts on something that might, as I'm asking, might come off as dumb, but I'm curious on your thoughts. So we're toward the end of this generation, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels that way. Like we've had, if you look at console generations, like usually like what eight years, you know, feels about right for us to like wind down this generation. Technology wise, do you feel like next gen is really needed at this point, or like should we like realistically could we have waited a few more years till this stuff became more ubiquitous?
I think that starting last gen, that conversation went out the window. Yeah. It's not about needed, it's about wants, and it's about quality of life. You know, you guys have been playing Peace Walker on PlayStation 3.
Mm.
Busting out that PlayStation 3, what felt great at the time, when you look at now, a lot of people would argue, oh, we don't need the PS4. PS3 is doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, at the time. But now we look at it, it's like, can you imagine not having it? I think in years when ray tracing and 4K, 60, and HDR are even more dialed in than they currently are,
mm-hmm.
and we look back at the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, it's going to be like, oh man, thank God we had this. You know, it's like it's little increments along the way that don't matter as they're happening, but when you look back, it's like, Jesus, this is such a huge thing. Like my iPhone, do I need the iPhone 10? Do I need the OLED screen and all that stuff? No. But when I look at one of my friends having an iPhone 7 and I use it, I'm like, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
this is so much better. It just happened over time slowly, so I didn't notice as it was going on.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, like, you know, seeing features like ray tracing and 8K and all this stuff, that seems very forward-thinking. Like, that seems like stuff that's not going to be necessarily taken advantage of within the first couple years. Like, maybe ray tracing will be, but 8K is not going to be really taken advantage of.
No, I think that ray tracing is going to be something that we see a lot up front. It's going to have a lot of fumbles, and then it's going to, like, dip for a bit, and then it's going to come back real strong.
Yeah. And so that's why I asked that question, because I'm like, man, it seems like we're introducing these features that we're not going to use for a while, or that are still need time to kind of develop, or not even develop, but for devs and for devs to really get their hands around, and for like costs of implementing that stuff in the games kind of come down a bit.
The thing is, like, I mean, this reminds me of, it was 3-4 years ago, I don't even remember at this point, but 3 years ago, probably, like, we're having all these conversations about PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X, and it was like, do we need these? There's no way this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it totally worked, and I'm extremely happy I have it because I love playing Spider-Man on my PlayStation 4 Pro. I love seeing Xbox games that are enhanced for the Xbox One X and seeing them run in 4K in a way that they don't on the other system. It's like, I want more of that, and it's already working. Like, I believe in this vision. Like, if you stay up with the tech, it works. And I think that the ray tracing stuff is something I'm very excited about. The problem is a lot of this comes down to lowest common denominator. Like, this isn't just like, oh, it's a thing that they click on and then everybody gets it. It's like, you need, back in the day, it didn't matter what HDMI cable you get.
Uh-huh.
It matters now. Like, if you don't get a high quality, the correct HDMI cable, you're not getting your 4K HDR correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that is a hard thing to explain to general consumers that for years have been told, oh, it doesn't matter, any HDMI cable works. Mm-hmm. Like, you need one with the 18 gigabyte per second throughput. And that's not hard to get. And the Xbox One X comes with it. So hopefully the next gen consoles will just come with it. So you don't even need to worry with it. But if you have that going to a receiver, it also, from the receiver to the whatever it's going to, it also needs one of those HDMI. Any one thing along the way of your system, your receiver itself, if it doesn't support that stuff, you're going to lose out on this stuff. And I feel like so many people aren't even going to notice that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is where the problems lie. Is like, you need to keep this shit as simple as possible, or else you get into the world of PCs. And then there's more Greg Millers in the world out there that get intimidated by graphics card and TurboTax.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I'm definitely one of those people, too, where I'm like, all the things you just said, I'm like, I don't know what half those things mean. I didn't even know you had to have a different HDMI cable, because I just got an Xbox One X like last week. And so,
make sure you're using the cable that came with the system.
Yeah. And I got to go and check on that, because I think I might just switch them out. I do want to also look at this Nintendo stat that Rebecca had in this article. And so it says, as for the Nintendo Switch, it doesn't seem to be suffering any from these transitions. 17% of developers said their current project would be released on the console, and 19% were planning their next game for it. And so, like, I think that's also been, not necessarily like a question, but for me, back in the back of my mind, right, I feel like going into the PS5 and Xbox Series X, we're going to see third parties, of course, like, leap forward in terms of technology, mm-hmm. which might make it harder to develop for the Nintendo Switch. Which I think there's that small fear in the back of your head that's like, okay, how does that affect output for third parties on the Switch? When you think of, like, I don't know, man, the next Assassin's Creed, even though I don't think Assassin's Creed are coming out on Switches anyway at this point. But when you think of next gen games that might be third party, that might come out on all consoles, including Switch, does that stop happening? But it seems like from this stat so far, where we're at now, seems like the Switch is on the uptick as far as
games. I gotta imagine this is a lot of indies, though.
Like, yeah, of course.
I don't think this is like the major third party titles. Like, we gotta hit a point soon where we just look and go, who cares about third party things on Switch? They're gonna happen. They're not gonna be the best version of the game. Mm-hmm. It's for a specific group of people, and that group of people is not the people that just get angry. Oh, The Witcher doesn't run as well as it should. It's like, okay, it's like, go play The Witcher where it should be played then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like the ports coming to the Switch are just kind of like, hey, it's for the audience that's there that isn't necessarily looking for the greatest experience with this game. Overwatch is not going to be the best on Switch. Like, we just know that. Like, the Switch is the system for Nintendo
games.
Not even just Switch. Nintendo consoles are the systems for exclusives and indies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anything else is just, it's there. That's on you if you buy those games. You should know better than that by now.
Of course. And I think that that uptick is mainly indies, right? And I think I remember having a conversation either one or two PAXs ago. I think it was PAX East. I think it was at PAX East, and I was demoing quite a few games. And I think, like, all the games I demoed, because they're all indie games, all the games I demoed had versions coming out for the Switch. And I remember asking one developer of, like, oh, yeah, so this game's coming to Switch and PC, just Switch and PC. And they were like, oh, yeah, because that's where we're selling, right? Mm-hmm. We'll get to PS4 and Xbox later, but Switch is where our indies sell, and PC, right? Those are, like, are the two platforms. And so, you know, for the Switch of things, it seems like things are on the uptick. And even with this new console generation coming out, I don't necessarily see it being too much of a problem.
I mean, my thing is, I think we're going to see less third-party titles.
Yeah.
And it's just like, going back to what I was saying, it's like, I don't think that that's really of consequence to gamers or to Nintendo.
I'm curious on how that pans out, though, because with new consoles means, like, one, it's interesting because I want to say you kind of restart in numbers, but really, like, since you have backwards compatibility, this generation, things kind of get weird. But, you know, Switch has what, 40,000 units out there? Or not 40,000, 40 million units out there, somewhere around that, somewhere past that. And so there are a lot of Switch units where I could see third parties easily, you know, coming to the Switch to make exclusive games for it.
I mean, we'll see. And exclusive games is a different story.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I want third-party exclusives. I'm talking about third-party ports.
Okay.
I'm talking like Bethesda just kind of putting all their games on Switch. And it's like, all right, that's not going to be the best place to play those, man. Like, that's just not.
Number three, since we like stats in this show currently, PlayStation has the highest customer brand loyalty, according to one study. This is from Iran Suddy of the Sixth Axis. A website called Best SEO Companies has carried out a study looking at brand loyalty across different industries, including the gaming industry. Before we get into the results, when it comes to these studies, we need to know the scope and location as well as the limitations of such a study. Best SEO study survey was answered by 1,003 people across different generations. So that's not the biggest sample size going into this, but I think the story is interesting, so that's why I pulled it for this episode. According to the figures, there were 225 baby boomers, 300 Gen Xers, 328 millennials, and 158 Gen Zers. However, there is quite a high margin of error for each group, coming in at 7%, 6%, 5%, and 8% respectively. Looking at some of the questions, it appears this study was also limited to the U.S. With that in mind, here are the results that this survey found. When it came to video games, 40.7% of responders were loyal to PlayStation, 31% to Xbox, and 30.4% to Nintendo. The survey then lumped gaming PC brands and gaming laptop brands under one umbrella, splitting them at 14.7% and 8.6% respectively. Virtual reality made a bit of a dent, with 3.6% of respondents saying they had some loyalty to HTC Vive, and 3.3% did to Oculus Rift.
Leapfrog came in at less than 1%.
Oh, wow. Unfortunate. In terms of the new generation of consoles, a third of respondents went to buy the PS5, while a quarter wants the Xbox Series X. 8% said they would buy both of the machines. When it comes to picking good, 90.3% prioritized price, with 69.2% also saying online reviews played a factor, along with 53.6% saying good word of mouth also influenced them. Brand recognition was only a big factor for 33.7%, while a company's political views and eco-friendliness accounted for 11.6% and 17.8% respectively. Gen Zers, is it Gen Zers or Gen Zers? I'm just going to say Zers.
Why would it be Zers?
I don't know, man.
We're in America.
I don't know, man. I don't know if this is Gen Z is an American term. It just feels weird to say Gen Zers. Like, it sounds like I'm saying Sears, but I'm mispronouncing it.
Zers.
Gen Zers were twice as likely to play eco-friendly. Put eco-friendliness as a top priority compared to other groups. Does that do anything for you?
I mean, the stats and stuff, not so much. PlayStation having the most loyalty doesn't surprise me in the least.
Really? You know? Well, because they're the best-selling console right now.
I don't see it.
Really?
No? You can lie about any stat. Any stat you bring up, you can just make it up and lie. Mm-hmm. PlayStation fans, are they more loyal than anybody else? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know what you're talking about. You understand what I'm saying here?
I do. Greg Miller is busting. How many Vitas do you have?
How many Vitas do you have?
About how many Vitas I have?
These are all the Vitas left.
In the world.
In the world right now.
Oh, my God.
And they're all on the table. Is that a PSVR?
Oh, oh wow. Man,
Blue controller looks
There's like 17.5%
nice.
Of people, Greg.
I included this story because I like this question from Zabikil, who wrote in. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Zabikil. They say...
Zabikil.
Hello, excellent people. With PlayStation having the highest brand loyalty, found through a survey of 1,000 people... Is that another Vita?
I'm grabbing my Vita so it doesn't get mixed up with the other.
Oh, okay.
What did you
just throw?
Koala.
With PlayStation having the highest brand loyalty found through a survey of 1,000 people, is this really a surprise? If we base this on console sales, this would be apparent. Do you guys think this is an accurate representation of the gaming community? Thanks, Zabikil.
I mean, yes, yeah. I do, but not because of this survey. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think that it happens to tell a story that I think is fairly accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, there's an argument to be made for Nintendo always, but that's just because Nintendo has that Disney magic. They have that kind of just mainstream appeal that everybody likes something about Nintendo. right? Yeah. I feel like Nintendo doesn't get caught up in the console wars.
Yeah.
Anymore, right? Yeah. Like it is PlayStation versus Xbox for the people that want to play it that way. And I feel like that works both as a benefit and against Nintendo in terms of loyalty. People are going to be loyal to Nintendo. And there's a lot of people that are going to scream very loudly for them and, you know, get really excited and, you know, for anything that they announce. Cool. Nothing makes people more loyal than acts of war. And I feel like that's why PlayStation fans are going to beat everyone out at the end of the day here, because they're going to scream louder for the fact that they're winning, right? Let me put it this way. San Francisco 49ers making it to the Super Bowl right now.
Yes.
Andy Cortez has lived in San Francisco now for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. He's seen San Francisco 49er jerseys for the very first time.
Really?
Now. All right. And it's that's what happened.
Besides James Burke.
Besides James Burke. But that's what happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's like PlayStation being such a banger right now. It's like there's people that want to cheer. And I'm not saying they're fake fans.
Of course.
I'm just saying it's like when you have these reasons to be loyal, you're going to be loyal.
Fair.
And PlayStation gives a lot of great reasons.
For sure. Number four, Soma and Amnesia developer Frictional Games is teasing its next title with interesting alternate reality game. This is by Stephanie Nunnally of VG247. The next title from Frictional Games hasn't been announced, but if the studio's alternate reality games any indication, news should be coming soon. The ARG first appeared in late December when Frictional's, quote, next game website went live. The site is empty save for a pulsing white light on the page, which, Barry, if you're able to bring that up, I sent it to Asus. There it is. This is this pulsing white light. So if you go to Frictional or nextfrictionalgame.com, this is all you see. It's like a tease.
It's like a ghost sperm.
Yeah. Man.
Am I wrong?
I mean, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong at all. The site is empty save for a pulsing white light on the page. Tells us nothing, right? Not so fast.
Whoa.
As noticed by folks on Reset Era, at the bottom of the page, there are icons with links to various Frictional social channels. One of the icons is a bit off, as it looks like a strange take on the eye of Horus. At least it does to us.
Wait, that's actually pretty dope.
Yeah, the one out to the far right. Oh. Yeah, and you see that? So if you highlight that, you can see it pops up with that with those characters.
The typo.
What do you think that is?
Suwaf. Aldevor. If you read it backwards, it's for all Adelazos.
This might blow your mind when I say this. When you hover over the icon, the end of a YouTube link appears. That's the end of a YouTube link.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I got to look it up. Wait. All right. Hold on.
We're making this work? Tim, are we playing the alternate reality game live on Kinda Funny Games Daily?
Remember this.
It is S-U. Cap.
Sorry.
F dash A, is that a L?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're currently trying to solve this mystery live on air.
Okay.
To this Frictional alternate reality.
YouTube.com/boom.
Yep, perfect.
Nope, not perfect.
Nothing?
Oh, do we miss?
Well, do you have to do like the watch thing? Or
yeah,
something?
I'm not sure. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna go to a random YouTube video of ours.
It's kind of funny. It's been a great 4 years.
Oh, my God. What's up?
All right. Slowly but surely, we're making this work, right?
Yeah, because there's the watch equal sign bullshit.
Yeah. And now you plug it in. Oh.
Video unavailable.
Whoa. Oh, interesting. Okay. Very interesting because according to this article, when you hover over the icon, the end of the YouTube link appears. When inserted into a YouTube URL, you are taken to a video with the description. Wait, actually, was there a description on that? Video unavailable, or was it just?
Wait.
No.
Something's going wrong here. I think I'm fucking up.
Send the link to Assets, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, it's like.
Okay, so it's video
changing the link when I add stuff. So I'm not really sure what's going on.
You're taken to a video with a description, quote, video cassette 16/2/83, copy from a private collection marked Sharpay.
She's a character from High School Musical.
High School Musical. KSSR. As you can see, the video box 52 tape 16 shows nothing but a brunch but a bunch of large rocks. However, if you look closely at one, and unfortunately we're not able to pull this up, and so we're bad detectives over here. If you look closely at one, and this is talk about the video, you will see symbols etched on the rock. You can also hear what sounds like water in the background. There is another video as well.
Found it? It wasn't an L, it was a capital I.
Oh. Okay, see, here we go. And so as I was saying, see. So you have that. So that's the correct description right there. Of course, Frictional Games YouTube channel. And then...
this is dope. I love that it's
an
unlisted
like
video, too.
So yeah, it's just a video of some rocks. And then you see that rock right there.
Oh, shit. It's got some sort of symbol.
Some sort of symbol.
Oh, shit. Blessing, what is it?
Sperm ghost himself.
I think it's the same. Is it not? No.
Yeah, it's that little dude.
Is it that guy?
It's slightly different, I think. Yeah.
Well, so it looks like an eye.
It shows nothing but a bunch of large rocks. Whoa. However, if you look closely at one, you will see symbols etched on the rock. You can also hear what sounds like water in the background. There is another video as well with the description, Artifact 1/7/115, marked Triple Crown, video unrecoverable, audio track fragment, reconstructed, denoised. This particular video was found when looking over the website's source code. In this case, the video is blank but not devoid of sound. Creepy. ARGs can be fun, and this one is rather interesting. Hopefully more clues will be revealed soon. The Soma developer announced in 2017 it had two projects in the works, and we suspect this is one of them. So there's a fun ARG for anybody who's interested in Soma / Amnesia developers.
That was a fun ride, guys.
Right? I love stuff like this.
Also, have you played Amnesia?
No.
Shit, scary as fuck.
Is it?
Yeah, dude.
Monsters
chasing you around. You have no weapons.
I own Soma. I don't think I've even booted it up though.
Amnesia was one like my friends from high school and I would just like stay up really late and like play
it's
and
spooky.
Like try get like spooky nights and shit like that. Yeah.
Oh, Tim.
Yeah.
I am very curious on what Frictional Games' next game they're teasing through this alternate reality game is.
Mm-hmm.
But the reveal. Just so far away.
So far away.
If I wanted to know what is coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before I get into out today, I'm going to go through ads since we're late in the show. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Introduction support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. It's 2020, and you know what that means. New year, new me, new balls.
Woo!
Man, listen up. Hairy bushes are so 2019. If you are going to pick any New Year's resolution this year, let it be to take care of your junk. Manscaped is making it easy with their grooming products. Greg and Tim use Manscaped.
I do.
How do you like it?
My balls are feeling good. They're looking good.
Awesome. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Or actually, yeah, Greg and Tim use Manscaped in two out of two ladies like that. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts.
My nuts used to be nicked all the time. I'm not talking about Scarpino. I'm talking about like things
that's
that involve in blood, and it wasn't good. But now, this lawnmower, my lawn is mowed, guys.
Oh, wow.
And there's no blood involved at all.
Wow. Talk about landscaping or manscaping. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just dirty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. At least I hope you do. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Start the new year off right by using the best tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Mm-hmm. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GAMES. We're also brought to you by Riot. New year, new you, right? Well, it's also time for a change for the LCS, North America's official League of Legends professional league. The 2020 season kicks off this Saturday, January 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on watch.lolesports.com. And there's never been a better time to become an LCS fan. You may be wondering, if I've never watched, will I have any idea what's going on? Don't worry, LCS hosts and casters will make sure you can follow all of the action. This will be an exciting start as the latest game update Rise of the Elements introduces permanent map and buff changes for the players to deal with. Plus, there's truly a team for anyone to root for. Maybe you want to see a classic like TSM rise again, join Team Liquid to see if they can secure yet another championship title, or lean into your darker side, or lean into your darker desires with one of the newest teams, Evil Geniuses. So are you ready for some League? Good, because there's even more this season to enjoy with Monday Night League joining the schedule. Catch the games Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific, Sundays at noon Pacific, and Monday Night League at 5:30 p.m. Pacific on watch.lolesports.com, Twitch, or YouTube. That's watch.lolesports.com, twitch.tv/LCS, or youtube.com/lolesports for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday Night League action. Thanks, LCS. Lastly, we're brought to you by Raid. Introducing Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG game must be cartoony or cutesy. Enough with candy rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now you can play Raid both on mobile and on your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between devices whenever you want and however you want it. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title, like an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. But I never expected to get this level of performance out of a mobile game. And in Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts and design a unique mastery build for each one of them. And the best part is, it is free to play. More than 15 million players worldwide have already downloaded the game, so go and click on the link in the description box and start playing. You won't just be enjoying one of the best mobile games of the moment, but you'll also be supporting this podcast. So what are you waiting for? Download Raid via my link, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid. That is patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which you will also find below in the description, and get a special package with 100,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 times mystery shards, and the amazing champion Adjudicator. This package will be available only for the next 30 days. Out today, we got, as soon as I scroll up, Commandos 2 HD Remaster for PC, Lumini for Switch, Ornn the Tiny Forest for Switch, Foxy Land 2 for Switch, which I believe Greg is playing on PlayStation for PSLUXOXO, Worlds of Magic Planar Conquest for Switch, Dominance for PC, Ghosts in the Barnhouse for PC, Praetorians HD Remaster for PC, Retro Tanks for PC, and Mac. New dates. This comes from Square Enix Europe's Twitter. We are thrilled to announce that from February 7th, you'll be able to play gorgeous first-person puzzler the Turing Test on Nintendo Switch. We also have Knights and Bikes is coming to Switch on February 6th. And lastly, this is a PSA from the Nanobiologist. He writes in and says, for those who pre-ordered the Final Fantasy VII Remake First Class Edition with the Bring Arts Cloud figure and bike, Square Enix has sent out emails requiring you to opt in to keeping your pre-order with the new release date. To do so, just click on the link in the email. If you do not do this by February 28th, then your pre-order will get canceled. Payment processing for orders will also begin on February 28th for this pre-order.
Did you know it's a leap year?
It is a leap year.
It is.
Didn't we talk about this?
More leap years this decade than ever before.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because we're starting off with a leap year in 2020.
Shit's crazy,
whoa,
guys.
That's wild.
Freaking crazy. And this is a total non sequitur here, but one of the games coming out today is Worlds of Magic Planar Conquest, which leads me for a little impromptu Tim Getty's quiz show.
Whoa.
Featuring Blessing.
Whoa. Jr. I've always wanted to be on a quiz
One show. Question. Yes. What is the name of Donkey Kong Country 2?
Oh, Donkey Kong Country 2. Diddy crap. It's one of the two. Okay. It's either Diddy Kong's Quest.
You're incorrect.
Dang it. It's Diddy's Kong Quest.
It is Diddy's Kong Quest.
I knew it was one of the two. I forgot which one it was.
Yep. Diddy owns the Kong Quest.
Diddy.
He possesses the Kong
Quest. Diddy Kong's Quest.
Can you pull up an image of this, Barrett, please? Just Google Donkey
That's
Kong.
That's so confusing.
Country, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because, like, no matter what, how you think about it, you're like, both of them make complete sense.
Yeah.
Diddy Kong's Quest. Diddy's Conquest would have been a better name.
Well, this is the weirdest one, actually. Like, this one...
Wait, no, I think I got it right.
No, you said Diddy Kong's Quest.
Oh, is that what I said? Okay, no, I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's Diddy's
Kong Quest. It's a pun. Okay, no, yeah, this is the better name. Man. Deal of the day. This comes from Mario 64. Genital jousting. Man, that's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. Genital jousting is 69% off.
It is
a mouthful. It's 69% off on Steam.
Let's keep coming.
Now it's time for reader mail. Let's see here. Aaron Malin writes in and says, "What's up, Kind of Funny crew? Quick question about your gaming habits. Have you ever been afraid to replay a game, particularly one you hold in high regard, due to fear that it will taint your amazing memories with it?
Yes.
Recently, I've been toying with the idea of replaying Dark Souls 2, one of my favorite games of all time, but I'm worried that this may ruin the amazing memories I have with the game from playing it for the first time, since there are only my memories with the game. I know this sounds dumb, but I can't be the only one who has experienced this, right? Keep up the great work. Aaron Malin from Rochester, New York."
Onimusha 3.
Oh, interesting.
Loved that game. I loved it so much. I loved Onimusha as a franchise, but I loved that 3 was the first one that was like, fuck it, we're getting rid of tank controls. Mm-hmm. It plays a little bit more like Devil May Cry. We're adding Jean Reese, whatever his name is, the French dude. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fantastic, right? I had a great time with it. There was moments in that game that were so get high. You end up fighting on the Eiffel Tower. It's a whole damn thing, right? I don't think I can go back to that game. I worry about it. It keeps me up at night sometimes where I'm like, was it as good as I remember?
Interesting. I think for me, there's two that come to mind immediately. First being Heavy Rain, playing Heavy Rain in like 2011 or whenever the game came out. I think it was 2010 that came out, but I played it like a year after it came out. And I remember falling in love with it and being like, this is incredible. And ever since then, I've just been hearing bad thing after bad thing about Heavy Rain to the point where I'm like, oh boy, if I go back to it now, being more developed in the way that I think about games and more, it's been, what, like 10 years since that game came out, right? Like, how well has that game aged? Do I pay more attention now to video game narratives than I did back then? Mm. Would I not like that game as much? That's a fear I have. And so there's that, and then there's Bioshock Infinite for similar reasons of, like, things I hear about that game politically that, like, at the time while playing it, I probably wouldn't have been thinking of because I was probably, like, what, like 17 maybe? Mm. But I feel like now going back to it, there are certain parts of that game, thinking back, where I'm like, would I have enjoyed this the same way?
Hmm.
But I, like, you know, with my rose tinted glasses, or like with me not going back to it necessarily, I love that game.
See, a lot of my fear about Onimusha 3 is just I don't know how to pronounce his name. Jean Reno. Reno.
If it's French, it's probably Jean.
Jean Reno.
I don't know, man. He was in Godzilla in 1998, though.
That's
what I do know.
Yeah. I go back and play old video games all the time. So I say, don't be scared. Mm-hmm. If it's not as, like...
Don't be scared.
If it's not to the highs of what you did to first experience it, that's okay. Like, you still have that first experience.
Of course.
And it's one of those things, like, I go back and play games just because it's kind of comfort food and shit like that to do that. But it's also fun to experience... art in a different time of your life and experience like maybe the message of a game in a new light or a different perspective and stuff like that. And that's why I do that a lot. Yeah. So I say don't be afraid.
I do that a lot for like older games that I associate more with my
and GTA childhood. 5.
GTA 5 isn't an old game anymore. Or anymore.
I mean, dude.
It's not really an old game.
You know what?
It's
GTA 5 is old.
GTA 5 is constantly
relative.
GTA 5
is the only game in history that you can say is not an old game anymore. And it's like, oh no, that makes sense.
I like, GTA 5 I've played consistently throughout this entire generation. Like, I've had, like, off seasons, but I still come back to it. It still feels like a relative game, aside from the frame rate in the online, which I, for some reason, while I was first playing that game, I didn't notice it. It was probably because it was 2013. Maybe frame rate didn't come as far as we are now. Going back and playing GTA Online now, today, and experiencing that frame rate, I'm like, dude, how did I not notice this?
Yeah, it was bad. I was looking over your shoulder the other day, and I was like, oof.
Yeah, man. I need to get a PS4 Pro.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I mean, I'm similar. I go back and play. Gameplay isn't really ever an issue for me when I go back and play games. Like, I can adjust pretty well because I'm obsessed with the N64 in that way. Where, like, I have the muscle memory. Like, yeah. I know how
we can deal with the dumb bullshit of DK64, but still love it.
Like, I went back and played Banjo-Kazooie for the first time in 2016, 2017, and I love that game. Like, I enjoyed it. I feel like at full level, despite it being an old game, because I feel like I can think on that level of like, oh yeah, N64, I know how this is supposed to work.
The one I did recently that really bummed me out, and it was one that I probably shouldn't have gone back to, was Jak 2.
Oh, really?
My childhood, Jak 2 was the fucking shit. And then playing it, I think, 2 years ago, when it like first came out on PSN or whatever for PS4, I was like, oh, no. Oh,
dude,
no.
I mean, the number one answer to that is GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye is like something that we all love. We've all had these fond memories of. And you play it now, you're like, this is it's unplayable. It's
if you have not played GoldenEye in the modern era, don't.
Just don't, man.
Just leave it in your memory banks. It was great for the time. But yeah, going back to that game in the last few years, it's sad.
I have somewhat of a hottish take, but I don't think it's too hot because this is just me referring to me.
Spit it out, dude.
I have an easier time going back to N64 games than I do to PS2 games. I feel like there's something about N64 games, gameplay-wise, taking GoldenEye out of the equation, because that's definitely like one that does not...
I can tell you what it is.
I think it's just they're more simple.
It's that control. Nintendo designs games around its controller.
Yep.
I mean, that too. Yeah.
Like that's the thing, is that there's like a... There's always, especially with N64 and GameCube, it's like... And Wii. It's like Nintendo made games around the weirdness of their controllers, and that's why GameCube games have a feel to them that PS2 games don't necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, because I found myself playing Resident Evil 4 about like a year or so ago for the first time, and I couldn't really get past it in a way where I went back and played like Conker, and I was like, this is kind of easy to get into. And I think, part of it is that, like, I mean, even though that was developed by Rare, but I feel like there's something about those games being designed for that control scheme. But also, I think there's something about N64 games being simpler that makes it easier to kind of like wrap your mind around for me. Let's see here. I think it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Let's do it.
Because we don't have a squad up. I don't have a rotating segment. Yeah, let's get into you're wrong. So what do you guys have for us? Let's see.
Some good ones today. Here. Charles Jacobson riding in saying Valiant Hearts is by Ubisoft, not EA. So we messed that one up.
Good point.
Zabakil says, Games Radar says, a Microsoft spokesperson reached out with a clarifying statement on the possibility of exclusive games for xCloud. While the statement doesn't rule out the possibility of them coming someday, it makes it clear that no xCloud exclusive games are in the works right now.
Okay.
So there's that.
That's interesting.
And then this one I left here because I think it's kind of cool. Nanobiologist says, what is ray tracing from an Explain Like I'm 5 Reddit post? Today, games produce images through rasterization. The GPU works from the back of the image forward, figuring out how each object is lit and which ones are blocked so the camera can't see them, then tries to assign a value to each pixel on the screen based on what the triangle is in that square. This has issues with lighting and shadows because any object in the camera's view isn't considered for lighting and shadows, like a big fire on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially then it's doing the opposite of that, fixing all those things. And there's one more video, Barrett, that I want to send to you. I'm sending it to Assets right now. This one is from Borzin00, sending in a Quake 2 ray tracing, showing even more examples of how insane ray tracing can make old games look.
Interesting. So we're looking at a YouTube video, GeForce RTX, it's Quake 2. I'm guessing this is OG Quake 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Skip forward even more.
Classic FPS. Oh, wait. So this is with... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoa. That looks incredible. So
they do an on and off soon.
We're looking at a ray traced version of Quake 2, and it looks awesome. So, yeah, like, there's the side-by-side, and look how much of a difference that makes.
Crazy, man.
Like, look how awesome that is. Next generation is about to be fire,
right?
If we can get stuff on this level.
Let's go, dude.
Man, let's freaking go. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Game Daily, motherfucker.